Now, the U.S. Commerce Department has announced the country's trade deficit hit a 10-year high in 2018. Data showed a deficit jumped nearly 19% in December. Shortfall pushed a trade imbalance to a decade-long high, with both imports and exports rising to $621 billion, highest level ever recorded. Deficit widened despite President Donald Trump's protectionist trade policy. Last year, Washington imposed tariffs on $250 billion worth of Chinese goods. The Trump administration also slapped levies on steel and aluminum imports from several European, Latin American, and Asian countries. And joining us now for this news review is Mr. Ian Williams out of New York from Foreign Policy in Focus, and David Barkin, author and professor of economics out of Mexico City. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome both to the program. And if I could start in New York with you, Mr. Williams, your thoughts, how much is Donald Trump to be blamed for what we just heard?
Well, there's a big cyclical thing. The U.S. has been running trade deficits for a long time in terms of goods, and what the U.S. does export is almost third world. It's soybeans, it's beef, it's chicken. That's what it's trying to push. They've neglected industry as a government policy almost. It's almost accidental that anything gets made in the United States for export. But his recent policies interfering, that the tariff walls have provoked retaliation, there are signs that far from being despite his trade protectionism, the deficit might well be because of it, because people, manufacturers and traders in America were so desperate that the goods they needed from China were about to be cut off that they pre-ordered and they imported a lot more in advance, is one of the suggestions for a record import bill. So, I mean, he doesn't really understand economics. I mean, he's like a kid with building blocks. He puts them together and then wonders why they fall down. And I think this is to some extent what's happening here. But declaring trade war on all of your major trading partners is not really the way for a secure future. And the key to all of this effect is that because of other circumstances, like the disappearance of the pound, the euro, the fact that the RMB is, the Chinese yuan is not yet acceptable, means the dollar is the only currency in the world, effectively, and people will accept it. So he's trading green paper, he's trading dollars, or the US's, for goods all across the world, and at some point, the rest of the world is going to wake up and say, but, you know, this paper's not worth anything. They're not producing anything. You know, their reserves are going down. Because, remember, at the same time, the party, the Republican Party, which stands for fiscal probity, is running the biggest fiscal deficits in history, as it comes up, to pay for his tax cuts. So, you know, it's almost traditional now with Republican administrations that they give away tax cuts, do not balance the revenue, and then wonder at the end of it why they have a huge fiscal deficit. It's similar arithmetic that's now working on the trade deficit.
And if I could now swing over to Mr. David Barkin out of Mexico City. Mr. Barkin, your thoughts on, okay, I mean, of course, Donald Trump, if he has a chance to defend himself, he's going to say it would be a lot worse had it not been for my policies. There is also, you know, in spite of his policies, there is a economic global slowdown somewhat. You could take a little bit of the blame away from Donald Trump. But in your view, how much is Donald Trump to blame?
I think that Donald Trump is going to eventually have to shoulder a very substantial amount of the blame. Because it's not only that the deficit is increasing, but it's that the policies are leading U.S. producers to actually go abroad to source materials that they need as inputs, because they cannot import effectively steel and aluminum in the United States, so that the raw material imports of their final products is probably in content. The raw material content of their imported products is probably going to continue to increase as long as we have this completely irrational approach to international trade. The other real problem that U.S. producers are facing is a very substantial increase in prices, not only because of the tariffs, but because of a series of other policies which are related to energy and which are related to, ironically, those parts of the tax structure which are not involved with the income tax cut.
And if I could swing back to you, Mr. Ian Williams, does Donald Trump have the right ideas and the wrong approach, or just the wrong ideas and the wrong approach altogether?
He's got the wrong ideas in general, but I'd like to follow on from what David said. The tax incentives in the U.S. are for U.S. manufacturers to manufacture abroad, because they, until recently, they haven't had to repatriate the profits and haven't had to pay tax on them. So there's a fiscal incentive for them to stay abroad. At the same time, they're assured that the government is going to look favorably on this and the system with direct tax incentives almost to stay abroad. There's no real pressure. A few tweets from Donald Trump does not really make for a fiscal policy to encourage manufacturing. And at the same time, the infrastructure, the manufacturing infrastructure of the United States has been debilitated, because where there is spare capital, it is going into finance, it's going into banks, it's going into credit cards. It isn't going into factories and dull, boring things that make things to be sold abroad. It's mostly financial engineering is almost the only type of engineering going on now. The infrastructure is falling apart because the government hasn't invested and companies haven't invested. So, amidst all the froth and the highest rate of growth, et cetera, the American economic growth is very poor compared with China and many other countries. And it certainly is skewed very much towards the financial side, which is a very undependable form of economic growth. Because as we've seen, the results are so skewed and the distribution is so maladjusted, so that those same people keep getting richer and getting more money, whereas the people who don't have any are paying the credit card bills and the student loans and all of the other usurious interest rates to keep the top 1% happy.
And if I could, Mr. Barkin, Professor Barkin, I'm going to let you get the last word in. We're short on time. But, Professor, my last question to you is, any aspect of Donald Trump's economic strategy or vision sound when it comes to true global economic growth or terms?
No, I think that the major problem is that its lack of soundness, its lack of solidity, is reflected in the decline in the quality of life of the people in the United States. The quality of life is reflected by the kinds of things we were just told about, the debt, the overload, but also the decline in the quality of physical infrastructure, social infrastructure, and the lack of attention to the meeting the needs of most people. The struggle, the big struggle that's going to happen in the United States right now in terms of the Democratic proposal for a Green New Deal and the Republican resistance to any kind of notion of a big government role in increasing policies is really extraordinary, of increasing stimulus, is going to be the big struggle of the next 2-3 years. And it's going to take a tremendous toll on the quality of life of the people in the United States.
Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us on the program. Ian Williams out of New York and Mr. David Barkin out of Mexico City. Thank you both sincerely. And viewers, that's it for this episode of your Press TV's News Review. Thank you and bye-bye.